Welcome, welcome, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are live. And, of course, all hell is broken loose once again. Yes, once again, all hell is broken loose. We're like time traveling now. Seriously, that's what I'm calling this whole Genghis Khan story. Well, we're time traveling. That's what we're doing. We are playing the time traveling game. That's it. The time traveling game. The what if Donald Trump's Muslim ban? What if Donald Trump's Muslim ban was in effect? What if Donald Trump was president in the 70s? What if we had a Muslim ban and the Genghis Khan family would not have been able to immigrate to America, which in turn their son would not have been able to serve in the military, which in turn their son would not have saved the lives of his fellow American soldiers. See? Do you see now the flaw in the Trump Muslim ban? We're time traveling. Because the same can be said if you go pre-9/11, and if Donald Trump was the president, the 9/11 hijackers would not have been allowed to ever be in the country. They would never been allowed to be in the country and take flying lessons. Let's see. San Bernardino, they wouldn't have been able to be in the country. The wife wouldn't have came to this country. Orlando, that would never have happened. I mean, seriously, we're going to start time traveling. We're going to time travel now. Of course, you're not going to hear this on CNN with Wolf Blitzer. You're not going to hear this on MSNBC. Of course not. Of course not. Matter of fact, this story is going to keep going because Hillary Clinton stared in the camera. She did. Sunday, she stared in the. Yesterday, she stared in the camera after Wallace played the clips of James Comey saying Hillary Clinton sent classified information, and basically the things she said before were lies. And after they played this clip, she looked at Chris Wallace and said, "See, I told the truth." What? What? If that was Donald Trump, Chuck Todd would have been like, "You liar, you liar, you liar, you liar. You're a liar." Instead, the media and the Democrats went, "Oh, no. Okay, we got to keep this Genghis Khan story going. Start the time travel. Start the time travel." And then because the Schweitzer book, the Clinton Cash, the book, the movie, that's on like serious replay. I mean, the movie is being downloaded, millions of people are watching it. Wall Street Journal's doing stories from it. This report that came out over the weekend about Clinton's campaign manager, you know, that Podesta guy, made millions of dollars from Russia in the reset. I mean, it's very damaging stuff. It's real troubling. Like it's legit that could damage our country. I mean, to have a president or you know, Secretary of State, just people making policy for their own personal gain or their friend's personal gain, and making policy with a dangerous adversary. I mean, Russia, it's not like they're, you know, pig farmers in Iowa. It's not like it's a pork bill. It's not like it's some, you know, $3 million research project for sewage waste for, you know, a firm in Nebraska. This is a foreign country. You want to talk about Donald Trump is promoting the Russians to hack Hillary Clinton. The Russians are... Which is all, again, smoke and mirrors. Hillary Clinton's the one that's practically committing treason. I mean, seriously. We'll get to that story later. I mean, it's a fascinating story of exactly what Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration and John Podesta and selling of technology to the Russians, and it's just crazy stuff that no one's reporting on. Instead, we're talking about Genghis Khan, and we're playing the time-traveling game. It's amazing. What if? What if then Genghis Khan's son wouldn't have saved, and then what if? Well, I'll tell you this, okay? And this isn't being heartless or you know, being anti-American, but I will trade, okay? I know this might be a little edgy, but I'm sure people will agree with me. I will trade the American soldiers' lives that Genghis Khan's son saved. I will trade them. And I'm sure they would say they would trade their own lives. I will trade their lives if we could save the 3,000-plus people on 9/11. How's that? Can we do that? Let's make that deal if we're going to time travel. Huh? Or how about the 50 homosexuals in the Orlando nightclub? How about that? Or is their lives not worth saving because they're homosexuals? I mean, if we're going to time travel and play this game, you might as well play the game with all of the instances where the Muslim ban. And the funny thing is, we're not talking about that whole Muslim ban thing. That's like old news. That's old news, this Muslim ban thing. And that large, I'm going to ban Muslims, we're going to ban Muslims, was not talking about U.S. citizens. We're talking about people coming from Pakistan, coming from Saudi Arabia, coming from Iran, coming from Iraq. That's what the Muslim ban at first, the blanket ban, was about. In that first statement, that first press conference, that first announcement, before Trump moderated it and before the policy advisors met with him and said, well, we should tweak it here and tweak it there, even that blanket ban excluded soldiers and Americans, American Muslims and soldiers. That's a fact. That is a fact. Had nothing to do with American soldiers. Now, The only way this fits into the context of the narrative by media and Clinton campaign is doing the time traveling game. And if you do the time traveling game, then you have to save all the people. You have to save those people. You have to save those people that would be saved on a Muslim ban. You can't just go, look, Genghis Khan's son wouldn't have served in the military. Look, we wouldn't have had this fine, great soldier. Yep, you're right. You're 100% right. But we also wouldn't have lost 3,000 Americans in 9/11. We wouldn't have seen Americans jumping out of windows to their death. We wouldn't have watched Americans' heads splatter on the ground because they just jumped 100 stories. What about that? What about that? We wouldn't have watched in horror as this airplane, okay, as this airplane just blasted that build. This is one of the most horrific scenes, something that's out of a movie. Still to this day, when I watch 9/11 video, it's like watching a movie. It's like watching some action Jason Bourne movie. Seriously, you're just like, that is effing trippy, man. That is effing trippy. Just look at that vivid. So, yeah, Muslim ban would also save those lives. So, Genghis Khan, okay? Genghis Khan wouldn't have his family here, and his hero son would not have saved his fellow soldiers. 100%. They would have died. But we also would have saved 3,000 Americans on 9/11. We would have had a Boston Marathon that would have been flawless. There would have been no bombings. There would have been no bombings. Okay? People's legs wouldn't have been blown off. San Bernardino, that Christmas party would have been flawless. Those people, those families would now, enjoy Christmas. I mean, imagine the families that were affected by that terror attack basically skip Christmas. I know I would. If my parents were slaughtered in San Bernardino that Christmas, I would never be able to celebrate Christmas again. When December rolled around, forget about it. Forget about it. I'd be in a drunken stupor for 30 days or however many days are in December for the Christmas time thing. And if you want to sit here and play that game also, how about Fort Hood? How about Fort Hood? We could also do this. We could also say, listen, Genghis Khan's kid, the war hero, and the fact that he's a Muslim, and by having him here, he saved lives. And how could we exclude the Muslims and the ban? Well, how about this? How about this? He gets voided by the Fort Hood shooting by the Muslim soldier who slaughtered 10 plus people. How's that? I mean, we could do this all day. We could do this all day. And the sad thing is, we're not CNN. We're not the Washington Post. We're not the New York Times. We're not CBS. We're not ABC. So what we're saying here only influences a small group of people. And a matter of fact, the people that it influences is basically the choir. We're preaching to the choir. Okay? We're preaching to the choir. You're listening to this show because you're a conservative, you're a Republican, you're other than a Democrat. That's what's so frustrating. It really is. That's what's so frustrating. And I will repeat it over and over and over again until we control the media. We are royally effed. Okay? We are royally effed. Until we control the media, we are royally effed. Because these types of things will always happen. Nobody will talk about a backstory on the Genghis Khan situation. Nobody's going to talk about that backstory. Nobody's really going to say, hey, let's take a time out here. Let's take a time out here. Everybody is acting as if Donald Trump said, hey, I'm going to randomly single out a Muslim family who happens to have had a son who served in the military and he was killed. I'm going to randomly just say, wow, the mom is not saying a word. Just randomly. I'm just going to randomly say that. Do you understand that none of this wouldn't have happened and we wouldn't be talking about this and this wouldn't be a story? The Democrats, Hillary Clinton, didn't parade this family around at the DNC this past week. I mean, it was done as a political move. It wasn't done to celebrate the life of a soldier who was killed serving our country. That's not why it was done. That is not why it was done. It was done specifically to play the Muslim angle. It was done specifically to create what it is now, which is made up controversy. How do you stand on stage, okay? How do you stand on stage and attack? How do you stand on stage and attack someone and not expect a response, let alone attack Trump? Especially with the fact that Genghis Khan, what he was saying was wrong. This whole Constitution, everything that he said was wrong. Everything that he said in that little stunt was wrong. As far as, do you even read the Constitution? What you want to do is unconstitutional. But that's not true. It's not true. Let me ask you, Donald Trump, what have you sacrificed? This guy just lit Trump up. Lit Trump up. And this whole debate has nothing to do with U.S. Muslims, with U.S. soldiers. It has nothing to do with it. Has absolutely nothing to do with it. And then the irony of the whole thing. Here's the irony of the whole thing. The son wasn't killed 2 years ago. Wasn't killed 3 years. The kid was killed during the Iraq war. The kid was killed during a war that Hillary Clinton authorized. He was killed during a war that Hillary Clinton authorized. That's the ironic thing. But if you think this is some organic, listen, if you think this is some organic controversy and this is some organic speech, you're nuts. All right? You are absolutely nuts. You are 7,000%. There is nothing organic about this entire situation. You're talking about Genghis Khan's son, who was killed, I think, 10-plus years ago. 10-plus years ago. Okay? 10-plus years ago, the son was killed during the Iraq War. So, really, if you want to time travel, again, if you want to play the whole time traveling game, you could say, hey, if Hillary Clinton and the party that Genghis Khan talked for, if they would never have given Bush authorization, there wouldn't have been a war, and Genghis Khan's son wouldn't have died. I mean, again, if you want to play the time traveling game, but the thing is, again, it's deeper. It's just like the Judge Curiel situation. Remember that, guys? Remember the whole Judge Curiel? And at first, it was, oh, wow, Trump said the judge can't do his job properly because he's Mexican. And he's going to have some bias because Trump's border wall and deporting. Remember that whole thing? And people were like, oh, my God. And then it wasn't CNN. It's not MSNBC. Spreads through the internet. Spreads through different conservative websites. And then once it's so combustible, CNN will take just a little, because Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer and Dana Bash, they get beaten over the head every day. Every day, till they finally are like, okay, we got to talk about it, but we'll just kind of bury it. So eventually, you heard a little. Again, low information voter heard a little. People that are actually informed knew the story, and that was Judge Curiel had ties to a whole bunch of groups that are for open borders, that are for Trump products, the law firm that's part of the case has ties to the Clinton campaign. I mean, there's just so much political intertwining, unorganic controversy. So it had nothing to do with Trump just going, oh, the guy's Mexican. It was deeper than that. Just like this. That wasn't an organic moment. That wasn't an organic moment. That was choreographed. That was planned. And the dad, Genghis Khan, has ties to the Clinton campaign. I mean, the guy's an immigration lawyer. The guy's job is to help get Muslims integrated into this country. That's a fact. There's a legitimate backstory there. The law firm that Genghis Khan works for is intertwined with the Clinton campaign. I mean, this is legitimate stuff. There's nothing organic about what they did. There's nothing organic about what they did. Absolutely nothing organic. And the ties that the dad has back in Saudi Arabia and in that region are all ties associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, this is legit. This is legit stuff. The narrative that Trump just woke up, was walking down the street. Better yet, he was speaking at a veterans affair. He was, you know, a VFW. And he met Genghis Khan with his wife. And Genghis Khan said, "Why do you want to ban Muslims? Why are you doing?" And Trump went, "Why doesn't your wife say anything?" "Whoa, what does that mean? Are you implying that she's not allowed to talk?" "No, I'm just wondering why she's not talking." "That's all." "Oh, you bad man." But that's not what happened. This is a choreographed hit. This is a choreographed hit prolonged by the media so that no one talks about Hillary Clinton and her propensity to just lie. I mean, just lie and lie. And when someone plays the video and she goes, I'm going to tell you exactly opposite what you just saw. I'm going to tell you the exact opposite way you saw. And they know with all this Clinton cash, information, the movie and the book. And you realize, guys, that CNN has not talked about it once. Jake Tapper has not talked about it. They don't bring it up. How do you not bring up cash, book, and movie? I mean, how do you ignore a movie? Think about that. It's a movie. It is a, I mean, this movie, millions of people are downloading and watching this movie. How do you ignore it? How do you ignore it? I get it when you ignore Roger Stone's book. I get that, sure. Talking about Bill Clinton raping girls and Chelsea Clinton being the illegitimate child of Hubble there, and then showing the jowl line and going, "Look, they look alike," which they do. But I get it. I can understand Zucker and the crew at CNN going, "Guys, are we really going to talk about Bill Clinton and rape? I mean, are we really going to go and get Juanita Broadwick and talk? Come on, guys." And they could get away with that. Rape, anal sex, those are things that you could get people to go, "Ah, come on, yeah." So I understand it. Clinton cash, when you're connecting dots, and dots are right there. And you got John Podesta, millions of dollars from the Russians, and you just have these trails that are just, you can't explain, the Clinton campaign can't explain all of the things that are in Clinton cash. You can't say, "Oh, it's just a Republican hitch." You can't. A lot of this stuff has been backed up by the Democrats' Bible, the New York Times, and the Washington Post. The Washington Post and the New York Times have backed up handfuls of claims, cash, book, slash movie. They have. CNN refuses to talk about anything. Refuses. But they will spend hours talking about Genghis Khan. That's why you're seeing this perpetuating. A story of a not story. I mean, you've all seen the video by now, the tweet that was going out there of Wolf Blitzer and Dana Bash drinking champagne and dancing and celebrating when Hillary Clinton got the nomination. I was floored by that. I just went, wow. I seen online yesterday somebody said, and it's funny because I retweeted it, said, man, I've been talking about that for about a year, my friend. Somebody said, wow, it's amazing that the media doesn't even cover their bias anymore. They don't even pretend anymore. And I went, yeah, I know. I told you that. I told you, of course. Of course. And this is the same thing. It's a non-story because Trump never insulted Soldier, and he didn't even insult the parents. All he said was why is the wife just standing there silent? That was it. That was it. In this, Genghis Khan talks about the world private the people. You know what? Get out of here. You're not private people. Stop. Stop. Started Thursday night, and you've been making your rounds since Friday morning. Friday, you were on Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell, attacking Trump. Saturday, Sunday, today. This was him today on New Day. Listen, let's see if I can cue this up. Okay, wait, here we go.
He viciously attacked me from the stage of the DNC and is now all over TV doing the same. Nice, he said, given that you know he is watching now. Is there a message you would like to send to him about this discussion?
I really want to maintain mine and my family's dignity. I spoke what was appropriate. And if he's watching, just imagine there was no need to comment the way he commented. That initiated this conversation. I again say, we want to maintain our dignity. We want to maintain my family's dignity, my son's dignity, and sacrifice. And he should listen to America, what America and the world is telling about the remarks, about the lack of empathy. And that's all I wish to convey to him, that a good leader has one trait. Earlier, I said empathy. I probably right now will misspell it, but it is basic character, realizing, feeling the pains, the difficulties of the people that you wish to lead. And that is missing. Donald Trump needs to sit with his advisors and portray to this world that he is empathetic. You solve the problems with empathy, putting people together. There are bad people among us, but there are good people among us as well. You gather good people to get rid of bad people, but you do not malign the whole religion, the whole culture. we are the solution to dealing with the terrorism in the United States. Join hands with good Muslims. Only war is not the solution. It is one of the solutions. Communities coming together is the solution. We are as concerned as Donald Trump is about the safety of this country. We are testament to the goodness of this country. We need to stop fighting with one another.
I mean, again, liberals, they never cease to amaze me because, basically, and if you listen to that, Donald Trump should have just shut up, not said a word, let Genghis Khan go on every single talk show and say how Donald Trump has never sacrificed anything. He's not a good leader. Trump is supposed to just take it. He's supposed to just take it. That's the thing with the Democrats. They're allowed to do whatever they want. They really are. They're allowed to do whatever they want because they have the media, print, TV, internet. They have the media. They control the media. So they control the narrative. So it doesn't matter what is said, what is done, because they control the narrative. They control what you're hearing, what you're seeing. I mean, it really is amazing. I mean, that's such a liberal. It really is. Trump said, wow, the Khan family is just running around and insulting me and saying horrible things about me. There was no insult there. Trump was on Twitter saying, hey, look, well, the guy, Genghis, it won't end. They're just going from talk show to talk show and trashing me. It's like a never ending. And you heard what his responses. You heard what Genghis Khan's responses. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we say. You should shut up. You shut up like my wife. You just shut up. That's what you do, Donald Trump. You're supposed to shut up. You need empathy. You need empathy. You need to bring people together. You need to bring people. That's the only way. It's the only way. You need to bring people together. Do you understand? That same liberal just talking point. The only way to beat terrorism is for us to work with our Muslim allies. Again, we've been doing that for 10 years? Hey, come on. And that's such a BS statement. It's a BS statement. As big as Saudi Arabia's army is, UAE, Qatar, I mean, these countries have massive armies. Their equipment is top of the line because we sell it to them. We sell these people the equipment. Listen, if they wanted to, they could wipe out ISIS. They could wipe out the radicals in probably a week. They could wipe out ISIS and the radicals within the religion. They could the radicals in the religion 10 years, 20 years ago. They know the radicals. Saudi Arabia knows where the radicals are. They know who are the radicals in their country. They know which ones are actively trying to kill Americans and which ones would like to kill Americans, but they just don't take it to that level yet. They just don't take it to that level yet. It's like the American mass murderer. It's like the guy who thinks about killing people, guy that fantasizes about it, dreams about it, and when you see him in a store, you go, that guy looks like a serial killer. That guy definitely looks like a serial killer. There's that guy, and then there's the Jeffrey Dahmer. In the Arab world, they know which ones are plotting in mosques. They know which ones are traveling back and forth to Syria. They know which ones are mapping, you know, the next move and plotting, and they know that they knew about Bin Laden. They knew about Bin Laden. So please, when I listen to these liberals, these cons talk about, we have to work with the Muslim community. Well, we've been hearing that. We heard that a year ago. And what happened? We get attacked. We heard that 2 years ago. What happened? We get attacked. We heard that 3 years ago. What happened? We get attacked. We get attacked on 9/11. And no president ever had as good a relationship with Saudi Arabia as George Bush. That's been documented. That's been documented. The love affair that the Bushes and the royal family have, that's been well documented. And we still got attacked. You would think. With all the business the Bush family did throughout the years with Saudis, you would have thought that the Saudis would have helped the 9/11 terrorists, the guy that killed us. The majority of them were Saudi Arabia. 9/11 report, that 28 pages, still hasn't really been fully vetted on TV. Remember, it happened during the convention. It got put out during the convention, so it got buried. So you had convention coverage. Oh, by the way, look, this report came out. Look, by the way, here's some of these little nuggets. Yeah, definitely points to Saudi Arabia. Oh, yeah, and back to the coverage of the Republican National Convention. You need empathy. We need to bring people together. You need empathy. You need to bring. Ay, ay, ay. Come on, man. I mean, come on. Jeez. I mean, it's amazing. But you gotta go. Let me 411 you, just in case you haven't, been able to go online and see it. Now hold on. Let me kick this out for you, because it's a great story, and it kind of digs into the whole con past. So let me kick this up for you. So hold on. All right. I retweeted it because I was like, wow, you guys gotta listen to this. So, man, where is it? I don't know, man. It's always such a pain in the ass to find some of this stuff. Because you know what's funny? When you click on a story on Twitter, when you click on a story for Twitter, it takes you to that story from your Twitter feed. And you can't go and then take the address, and then maybe you can, and I just haven't figured it out because I'm going to be 43 and not real hep on technology. But here it is. So it's AmericanThinker.com. And the story goes, who is Genghis Khan, the father of fallen U.S. soldier? And the headline says, is there a backstory about Genghis Khan and Donald Trump? So it goes through the whole Genghis Khan speech. And when he said that Trump's Muslim ban and Mexican border wall proposal are unconstitutional, which we said was wrong, Khan cited the words liberty and equal protection of the law in suggesting that Trump's policies violate the Constitution. And we said, once again, that's wrong. Because remember, and this story in this American Thinker highlights it. If you're here illegally, if you're not a citizen, this doesn't apply. There's nothing unconstitutional about supporting people that are here illegally. It's not unconstitutional. Up a wall does not violate the Constitution. If you have a visa and your visa's it's a month old, it's a day old, it's a week old, and you deport that person, that's not unconstitutional. I mean, it's ridiculous. But the story goes on and talks about how Trump amended the proposal to focus on immigration from countries compromised by terrorism. And then it breaks down the 14th Amendment of the Constitution applies to all persons born or naturalized in the United States. It does not refer to foreign persons in foreign countries. So they're backing up what I have said. Trump made it clear that this ban would not apply to citizens, members of the with legal right to be. When Trump talks about the Muslim ban, says we have to do a better job vetting. That's not Americans. It's nothing to do with Americans. It has to do with San Bernardino killers. It has to do with the fact that the guy goes to Saudi Arabia to get a mail order bride terrorist. That's what he did. That's what Trump's talking about. Not about Genghis Khan, who came to this country back in the 70s, had a kid, who was an American, in the military. But like I said in the beginning of this segment, that's not an absolute. That's not an absolute. And what I mean by that, it's not an absolute that Genghis Khan's son was going to be a good soldier. Because just like Nadal over in Fort Hood, we've seen there are bad soldiers who kill their own. But anyways, Trump later went on and said, Captain Human Khan was a hero to our country, and we should honor all who have made the ultimate sacrifice to keep our country safe. The real problem here are the radical Islamic terrorists who killed him and the efforts of these radicals to enter our country to do us further harm. Given the state of the world today, we have to know everything about these looking to enter our country. And given the state of chaos in some of these countries, that is impossible. Now, you haven't heard too much about Trump's response. You haven't heard too much about that statement. Of course not. Of course not. Because according to the liberals, according to Genghis Khan, Trump shouldn't be saying anything. He should sit there, shut his mouth, and let Genghis Khan go from talk show to talk show bashing Trump. I mean, it's just insane. It's lunacy. It really is. It's lunacy. So here's the meat of this AmericanThinker.com. Okay? Here's the meat. So, goes on to say, according to Theodore Shabbat and Walid Shobat, Mr. Genghis Mazum Khan is a promoter of the Islamic Sharia law and co-founder of the Journal of Contemporary Issues in Muslim Law. In fact, in the past, Genghis Khan has shown his appreciation for an icon of the Muslim Brotherhood by the name of Saad Ramadan, who wrote material for the Muslim Youth Movement of Malaysia, an organization that has been promoting Islamic an indoctrination to recruiting young people in Malaysia to jihadism. Mr. Said Ramadan was the son-in-law of Hussein al-Banna, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, including Ahmad Balafallah, the boss of Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's aide. Should this connection give us pause? Shabbat writes that Genghis Khan currently runs a law firm in New York called K.M. Khan Law Offices, a firm that specializes in immigration services. So you see, being the president kind of F's with Genghis Khan's business here a little. Makes it a little harder for Genghis Khan to get his Muslim Brotherhood friends into this country. Now all of a sudden, they're going to have to be vetted, like properly vetted, not that half-ass Obama vetting that lets the, San Bernardino girl into the country. And the Orlando shooter's wife, who is missing. You notice you don't hear about that? Orlando shooter's wife? So, here we go. This is, again, AmericanThinker.com. According to Shabbat, to understand the inception of Muslim immigration, one must study the Muslim minority. It was created in Saudi jurisprudence, which sparked during the times Genghis Khan lived in Saudi Arabia while collaborating with the Saudi kingdom. It is likely that Khan is a Muslim plant working with the Hillary Clinton campaign, probably for the interest of Muslim oil companies, as well as Muslim immigration in the U.S. Now that, I don't know. That, who knows? Sounds plausible. I mean, the Saudi government has given Hillary Clinton more money than any other presidential candidate. I would say it rivals the connections that the Bush family had, and we all see how that turned out. Just saying. Katchis Khan used to work for Hogan and Hartson and Lovells, which has ties to the Clinton Foundation. Accordingly, Hogan Lavelle's LLP, another U.S. firm hired by the Saudis, is registered work for the Royal Embassy of Saudi Arabia through 2016. Disclosures show Robert Kyle, a lobbyist from the firm, has bundled $50,000 for the Clinton campaign. In fact, Shobat relates how many lawyers at Hogan Loves remember the week in 2004 when U.S. Army Human Khan lost his life to a suicide bomber. Then Hogan and Hart's an attorney mourned the death because the soldier's father goes to God. Most American, blah, blah, blah. The Saudi interest with using Khan to advance Muslim immigration and advance Muslim Sharia is a lengthy subject. And then there are the ties to the Hillary Clinton's aide, Huma Abedin, as well. The House of Saud had used Huma's father, Saadi Sununullah Abedin's work regarding the Muslim minority affairs in the West, published in 98 as part of 29 works to construct a plan for the U.S. with Islam. So, as you see, okay, like I said in the beginning, this Genghis Khan situation did not happen organically. Trump did not run into him at a VFW event or a restaurant or at Mar-a-Lago. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. This is created by the Democrats. It was created by the Clinton camp. It's obvious Genghis Khan has ties to the Clinton camp. It's obvious CNN and the other media outlets aren't going to report on this. It's obvious. It's obvious that people like me and other conservative talk shows and other conservative websites are going to have to bring this to light, and then it's going to have to get tweeted across the Twit universe. Is that what you call it? The Twit universe? Obvious. Obvious. It's obvious. Because you're not going to hear the honest and correct story. Instead, you're going to see headlines that say Trump defamed Khan. And you're going to see John McCain saying Trump defamed Khan and doesn't represent the GOP. And again, I don't remember the soldier being defamed. And I don't even remember the father being defamed. The only thing I remember was a question on the mom and why she was silent. Was she not allowed to speak? Now, if that truth hurts, so be it. But that's a fact. In Islamic culture, women are not allowed to just speak. They're not allowed to just say whatever they want. That's why they have to wear wraps to cover their heads. That's why they have to wear beekeeper suits when they go outside. That's why they have to get permission to drive a car. I know nobody ever likes to bring that up. But it's the truth. It's the truth.